good evening, or good afternoon, wherever you are. This is the Right Reverend John St. Germain, your gentle giant of a minister, or the sinister minister, as I'm sometimes known around here, welcoming you once again to Crystal Silence League Hour. And tonight we're going to talk about dealing with times of great stress. Of course, we're about to segue into a Mercury retrograde on the 19th. I think by next week we'll be well into it. And also we're going to segue into 2017, and we're all going to be under a lot of stress, I think, at the beginning of that year. But let's deal with ways to talk to it. So why don't you get you a nice drink, a cold drink, a warm drink, a lukewarm drink, and join us in just a few seconds. Why don't you come on back? I could use a longer introductory piece, but I really do like that. That's actually the walk-on music to a WWF wrestler who went by the name of Mandir back in the 90s, I think, or the early 2000s, and I really liked it. He was a Cherokee wrestler, apparently. He could have been Italian. You know how WWF was, but he was swarthy, and my son and his friends thought he looked like me, so it amuses me to use that music, WWF wrestler walk-on music, for the introductory to my show. I have a lot of inside jokes that only about three people get sometimes, and those are the best ones, are they not? One time I did a show at a college, a presentation at a college in Florida, and they had a hand-painted M.C. Escher mural around the auditorium. It was one of those transformative murals where a abstract design turned into a flock of birds, and the flock of birds turned into crawling turtles, and then an abstract design. And I said, that's M.C. Escher, right? And I said, he did those drawings of staircases that went up and then down and through fourth dimensions. I said, M.C. Escher once tried to commit suicide, and he wound up shooting his next-door neighbor. And I thought that was really funny, but no one in the whole auditorium got the joke. And I guess 3 days later they laughed. It's appropriate that a joke about M.C. Escher would have to have a time lag on it, go through the fourth dimension, then you'd have to get it 3 days later. But, think about it. He tried to shoot himself in the head, and it went through time and space around the time warp and shot his neighbor, Anyway, I thought it was funny, and I think maybe two people in the audience laughed at it. But they may have thought the idea of shooting your next-door neighbor was funny. They may have thought it was funny for different reasons. This is the Crystal Silence League Hour, brought to you by LMC Radio Network, purveyor of fine spiritual programming across the world and across time and space. We have programs every night of the week for you, every day of the month. And we bring you shows about hoodoo, root work, witchcraft, magic, spirituality, how to keep yourself healthy and beautiful, how to hex your neighbors if they're trying to cast upon you, how to bring your life riches, prosperity, health, beauty, and success, how to embitter your neighbors and embitter your life. That should be your working motto for 2017. I want to embitter my life and embitter my neighbors. Don't embitter your life and embitter your neighbors. That's the wrong way to do it. We should actually embitter our lives and embitter no one. That should be the way to do it. I'm just kind of rambling on right now because I have a head cold, and I've taken various herbs and spices seeped in brandy for it. So the brandy is probably the most active ingredient in it. Crystal Silence League was founded in 1917 by Claude Alexander Conlon for the purposes of distributing prayer and affirmation for all those in need. And when Mr. Conlon passed into the silence around 1954, I think, he took the league with him until, through the magical meanderings of Missionary Independent Spiritual Church. It came into life again about 2009. And you can find us on the web now at www.crystalsilenceleague.org. And if you go there, you'll notice that you can post prayer requests. You can buy crystals and crystal balls. You can join us and get a nifty card. And it gives you certain privileges and membership activities. And you can log on and see secret parts of the website that no one else can see, and do all kinds of nifty things. We have literature. We have a couple of books written by our founder, Claude Alexander Conlon, and one written by me, Crystal Magic, which you can also buy from Missionary Independent Spiritual Church and also Lucky Mojo Curio Company, or you can buy it from me directly if you go to my website, and I'll autograph it for you. The book is Crystal Magic, Divination, Healing, and Spellcraft with Gems and Minerals. It will teach you all about the four branches of crystallomancy. It will teach you about the practical use of crystals and gemstones and all those things about embittering and embittering your life. That's going to be sticking in my head tonight. We should all try to get along in this world, and people are posting videos on YouTube and on Facebook about the outbreaks of racism and hatred that's going across the country now. I really don't like to see this. This has been going on for a long time. When I was a younger man, violence used to break out frequently in my schools. We actually had a race riot in my junior high school, and the police were brought into schools. This is one of the first times police were brought into schools in Tennessee, was at my school. There was a race riot. We had racial tensions in my junior high school, and we had another one in my high school over the passing of Martin Luther King Jr. Day, and the police were brought into my high school over that, and so this sort of thing breaks out quite a bit, and it saddens my heart to see it. And do you know, hate is there, and hate doesn't need a reason. Hate doesn't need a why. Hate doesn't need a who or a why or a where or a when. Hate is there. And we see people trying to stop it. And a lot of times what we see is the promulgation of hate versus hate. And hate will never stop hate. There's an old saying, that's like trying to put out a fire by pouring gasoline on it. And I've seen friends of mine, associates of mine, burst out in hate against each other and anger against each other over nothing, because of the tensions that have increased, taking offense over the inadvertent use of words and terms that were not intended to cause affront or offense. And even when the other parties were trying to apologize and say, that's not what I meant, the other person was, and this has happened several times recently, that person was so determined to be offended by it that no apology was possible and no putting out this fire was possible. We have to be careful when we are looking at the eruption of hate, which is always there, always part of our world, that we ourselves don't give in to hate as well. Hate does not need any excuse to erupt. It's always there, and it really doesn't need a reason. Dogs hate foxes. Nazis hate Jews. You know, oil hates water. When the earth has been incinerated and there's nothing left but amoebas and paramecium, the amoebas and paramecium may hate each other. You know, if open-minded people hate racists, the hate is still there. The only way that we're going to put out hate is by compassion and love. And, you know, you don't have to like a racist. You don't have to like someone who hits their wife. You don't have to like someone that calls you a motherfucker in traffic. You don't have to like them. But in every day and in every way, we have to love them. And it was taught to me a long time ago by a very smart teacher, it's really hard to love the unlovable. It's very, very hard to love the unlovable, but it's essential that we learn. you know, it's hard to love a tree. A tree can't love you back, but we have to love the tree. It's hard to love the world because the world is not going to love you back, but we have to love the world. It's very hard to love the unlovable. We don't have to like them. We don't have to like somebody who looks you in the face and calls you bad names, bullies you, but we have to love them. We have to. That's the only way this is going to end. Our good friend Troll Towelhead says, I suspect that trees can love us back. When I was a little kid, I had trouble telling the difference between inanimate and animate objects, you know, like a chair and a person. And I suspect I had a greater wisdom back then that, you know, perhaps chairs and rocks and trees. And doesn't it say in the Gnostic Gospel of Thomas that Jesus said, if you split the stone, there you'll find me. If you split the log, there you'll find me. So, well, it also says in the King James Bible, if every tongue were still, the rocks and stones will sing my praise. So, why don't we just say that the trees and the rocks and stones can love us back? Why don't we just say that the tree can love us back? They do say if you talk to your plants, they grow better. You know, maybe they do. Maybe they do. Let's suppose so. Let's suppose we're talking about that, weren't we? Pantheism, that any all matter contains a fragment of sentience. Why don't we just suppose so? And if that's the case, what does the earth think about all this anger and hate? You know, are we killing ourselves with our own hate? Are we polluting? You know, this reminds me of a story. I used to tell this a lot. I worked at a bookstore once, a book warehouse. We worked in the back with a lot of different people. You know, people that work in warehouses are usually, loners, you know, these loners that never talk much. And one of the guys that worked back there, I started talking to him. He's very quiet. He's one of these guys that wore a jacket even in summer, you know, one of these guys. And I got to talking to him, and it turned out his family owned mortuaries, and they owned mortuaries back into the 18th. This was a family. They owned a mortuary back into the 1800s. And he said his grandfather told him that when he started in the business, cancer was unheard of. And he said if you got a body of someone who died of cancer, they didn't know how to prepare it. They had to invent ways to prepare the body. And, you know, my friend said, you know, now cancer, it's like every, you know, 3 out of 5 people that come in that died of cancer. And, you know, so what has happened? And, you know, I have theories about how cancer is going to be cured. I don't think it's going to be medical. I think it's going to be a matter of the body being trained to not accept cancer. I think this is going to be done by genetic material being removed from the body and modified and reintroduced into the body to where the body itself will reject cancer from happening. And I think this is going to be an advance in medicine where they stop giving you, you know, they've given you so many antibiotics that now there's bacteria that's antibiotic resistant. So that approach just isn't going to work anymore. The body itself will be trained to reject cancer and reject illness by modifying the genetic material and reintroducing it, because I think that's how cancer started. We've changed the environment so much that the body's evolutionary process has been overwhelmed. It cannot adapt to the environment. And this is the body's attempt to evolve. It's gone out of whack. The evolutionary process is working against us. So that's the only way it can fix it. Anyway, that's one of my harebrained schemes. That's what I've seen in spirit, you know, in one of my spirit visions. So why don't we get on with some of our show? Let's talk about some crystals. How about some crystals? Yeah, what do you think about that? What do you think about that, cat? What do you think about that, troll? This has come into my awareness that the only way that we're going to beat this is by training our bodies not to be sick. And on that note, our crystal of the night is tree agate. And man, don't we love the agates? I love the agates, and I love them so much. They are they're simple rocks. They're primal. The tree agate is a beautiful one. It's a white rock with veins of dark green that runs through it. You see it, you recognize it immediately. It's one of the most easy stones to identify. And the tree agate functions by stabilizing both the subtle spiritual energies and the gross physical energies. It's a very earthy stone, you know, like most agates, and the white crystalline matrix also vibrates to the higher energy flux, and it creates this solid cord that runs straight through all the energy points to align everything in this solid harmonic unity. And if you can imagine a violin string that's taut between the fret and its grounding point, and the chakras are pearls that are all threaded on that string, and you pull the string taut and pluck it, boom, and it vibrates a clear note. That's how the tree agate works, by aligning and harmonizing and vibrating all the chakra energy points. And so agates are primal. Therefore, they don't treat symptoms. They treat causes. And so you can imagine them as spiritual antibiotics. And so the tree agate treats restlessness and lack of focus and ennui and spiritual malaise, you know, that sense of spiritual boredom. And there's a term, hierath, hierath, H-I-R-A-E-T-H, hierath. That's a word that is hard to translate, but it's a sense of homesickness for a place you've never been. And many of you may relate to that. It's that quest feeling. I'm looking for something, but I don't quite know what it is. I see it out there on the horizon, and I just keep looking for it. It can treat that. Now, if you use tree agate to make an infusion, you can use the direct method. Just drop it in a container of water. You'll wash it off first. It, you know, could you never know where it's been. You place it in a container of water. You can add a tablespoon of brandy and leave it in the sun for a day or two. The reason you add brandy to these infusions is because if you put a rock in a container of water and leave it in the sun for a couple of days, you may come back and there's algae growing in it. And depending on the algae, it might be good for you, but a lot of the algae is not. It's like aquarium algae. You know, you don't want to drink that stuff. So you remove the agate. If you want to, you can add a little bit more brandy. And the brandy keeps it from growing mold. You know, it's a preservative. So you bottle this, you know, you bottle it and keep it around. Now you can apply the elixir to, you rub it on your crown chakra. You can apply it to various points of your body while you meditate or while you're having symptoms of, you know, these symptoms we've had before, lack of focus, etc. You can drink it and you can sprinkle it around your house. You can also use it to clean or recharge other stones. And, you can be used in spell work. That's particularly good for blessing and uncrossing work, this elixir. And so that's our stone of the week, the tree agate. And, you know, you can leave it, depending on how you want to charge it. These elixirs work on the homeopathic idea. The water takes on the harmonic properties of the stone. And, you know, there are some people who they will take the water and just keep adding to it without putting the stone back. It's like yeast, you know, like sourdough. You know, you have starter and they just keep adding water to it and you don't put the stone back in. Once the water has been charged, they'll just keep putting the water back in. But I've never done that. I said, you know, it's no trouble to put the stone back in. And, you know, if you're using a water soluble stone, you know, like selenite, if you put selenite in there, you'll come back and there'll just be a pile of dust in the bottom of your water. You put it in a highball glass or a test tube or a sealed jar, like a baby food jar, and you put that in the water so the water doesn't get to it. And that will transmit the energy. I like a test tube with a cork in it, a rubber cork, and you just put that in and let it. You want to put it in so that you can submerge it. So you put it in, put the lid on the container, and it holds it under in the crystalline energy. And if you do selenite, you put it under moonlight. I'll put it one day in the sun, one day in the moon, and let it absorb then discharge. And that seems to do really well with selenite. And we'll talk about selenite one day because it's really cool. you know, it just depends. When you read about elixirs, people have lots of ways of doing it. I want to tell you that I've been experimenting with the Bach flower remedies and crystal infused water. And I intend to write about that in a future book, because you have certain crystals that work well with certain flowers, and oh my goodness, you get some wonderful elixirs from that. Crystal Silence League, of course, if you go to www.crystalsilenceleague.org, you can post prayers, and prayers are always free, and we get sometimes 100 or more prayers a week. And we've been very active lately, I've noticed. I've been printing out a lot of prayers and putting them on the altar this week. I don't know if the rest of you have noticed this, but we've been very active lately. I think there's a great deal of anxiety going on right now. I don't know if this is the shadow of the Mercury retrograde or just recent events in the world creating a lot of unrest. But we've got a lot of prayers, and it's been my custom since we started this show to read many of these out loud. And we do not name names, although I have your names and pictures right here in front of me. I see who you are. It helps us us pastors in visualization to have your names and your pictures. So if you do post a prayer, don't hesitate to upload a picture. It does help us quite a bit. We do keep these anonymous, and I will read aloud the prayer ID number. So please, those of you, pray along with us to the following prayers. And I don't read these before I read them aloud on the air, so sometimes I'm gobsmacked by some of these. I go, oh my goodness, I can't believe they're praying for this. And but you know, most of these are very sincere. I think they're all sincere. We had someone a few weeks ago pray for basically for his sexual tool to be lengthened, and I came across that, and I decided not to pray aloud for that. I did pray silently for it, but you know, it was a sincere prayer, but I didn't feel it was appropriate for our program. But then I thought, well, maybe I should have, because that was a sincere prayer, and maybe it would have been granted. I don't know, but let's pray for some of these good and honest and sincere people. And we'll start with prayer ID number 56741, who says, my friend Jay is a teacher. He is good at his job here in England. There are two other teachers who are making his job difficult because of jealousy. I'm asking for prayers on his behalf that those two teachers who are giving him problems will cooperate with him and stop from harassing him and let him work in peace. May this be so. Amen. Then we have prayer ID number 56739, who's suffering from depression, feelings of worthlessness, and low self-esteem. And she says, I never feel good enough. My depression and anxiety prevent me from moving forward in life. I believe it is sabotaging my relationship. I just want to feel happiness. Amen. Prayer ID number 56738, who says, please pray that I pass my final exam and get a C in this course. And please pray for me that I really need help, and I've studied and worked hard. Please pray for me. Amen. Why settle for a C? Miss, go for that A. Reach for the stars. I believe you can accomplish this. Prayer ID number 56737 says, hello, Tuesday, December 13th, which is today. My dog, Ray Ray, is undergoing surgery. He's getting neutered, and they're fixing a hernia. He's an older dog, so we pray that everything goes smoothly, and he'll be healthier than ever. Please pray for his safety, recovery, and that he'll be protected, happy, and healthy. Thank you. May all of you and your pets be blessed. Amen. Hope Ray Ray is doing well. Prayer ID number 56736. Please help. Keep us in your prayers. After all we've been through, ACS is seriously considering giving our kids to birth grandma. If ever I needed prayers, it is now. Pray for God's intervention so we can save our children. I can't believe someone can come out of nowhere and try to take my kids. Pray this doesn't happen. Thank you. Let's pray for what is right to happen here, that the best outcome for everyone occurs. Amen. Prayer ID number 56735. I need prayer for my son to get off of drugs, grandson to be healed of emotional issues, rebellion issues, and do not listen to authority. He's been in juvenile, justice system, and recently the jail. May this family be healed. Amen. Prayer ID number 56734. Dear St. Jude, thank you for providing immediate funds for me. I really appreciate all that you have done for me to ensure that I will be able to make my bills through the winter. Thank you for always taking care of my needs. I appreciate everything. Amen. I'm assuming this is a prayer that was answered. You know, praise all good spirits. Prayer ID number 56733. I am needing prayer for my dear sister L to receive blessings and deliverance from her suffering, to receive a kidney soon. Please pray for L. Thank you very much. Amen. Prayer ID number 56732. I am needing helping prayers to receive financial blessings from myself and son to have a home of our own. Thank you very much. Amen. Prayer ID number 56731. Pray for my family and me that we may be free of the evil and or ill will of whoever or whatever is plaguing us and preventing us from finding a way home. Pray that all barriers are removed and we may be finally free to reestablish our lives and be homeless no more. Pray that jobs and job offers are no longer stolen from us, even after being offered. Pray that we may be happy and secure once again. My babies deserve so much better than what the past 18 months have brought us. May this be so, good spirits. May it be so, High Father. Amen. Prayer ID number 56730. Very simply, a simple prayer and sincere. Please pray for the safety and protection of my family. Amen. Prayer ID number 56729. Please pray that I find the healing necessary to overcome years of abuse, physical, sexual, financial, mental, emotional, and spiritual. Thank you. Amen. Prayer ID number 56727. As a thank you, I will continue to pray for you. Here is my prayer. I pray that you, God, will use all your powers to have A, see her crush this month, and that all delays and obstacles will be removed, and that her and her crush will become lovers finally. Thank you, and I will pray for you, I promise. Amen. Prayer ID number 56726. Please pray that I find a soulmate to love me and have a relationship with. I'm fed up being alone. Please, can I ask for prayers to find a soulmate, someone to love and be loved, and someone to help contribute and ease my financial burdens? Please, I really want to be cared about, but also to be in the right situation. Thank you. Lord, hear my prayers. Amen. Prayer ID number 56724. My family of three has been living out of a hotel room, and we have to get through another week in here. We need $490 to pay for the week tomorrow, or we'll be locked out. We have no food either. We have paid for a month here so far. I need a miracle to get us through, especially a week before Christmas. Amen. Prayer ID number 56723. I pray for reassurance that Jay's feelings for me have not changed, and for peace regarding my intense anxieties. Well, may you have peace, dear. May you have peace. Amen. Prayer ID number 56722. A prayer for a friend who does a lot for others but doesn't receive help in return. It's taking its toll on her, and now she takes her hurt out on herself. She's one of the best friends I've ever had, more like family. I just want her to be happy. Thank you to whomever that sends her love and prayers. Amen. Prayer ID number 56721. I pray that all three of these orders go through so I can pay off most of my credit card debt and start 2017 with a clean slate. Amen. Yay. Clean slates for 2017. Prayer ID number 56719. Destroy all enemies working against C. Lord, my strength and my fortress, my refuge in time of distress. To you the nations will come from the ends of the earth and say our ancestors possessed nothing but false gods, worthless idols that did them no good. All working sent by C's enemies shall be destroyed. All C's enemies will fall into darkness. Do people make their own gods? Yes, but they are not gods. All working sent by C's enemies shall be destroyed. All C's enemies will fall into darkness. Amen. Now that is someone who knows how to pray. Prayer ID number 56718. My highest, most expert guides, please help me with reuniting with CV. Thank you. Dear C, I love you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. Amen. Prayer ID number 56717. A and I need success in finances, in our daily lives, and with business. We need good luck to enter our lives. We need the weights removed from us, and for the bad energy to leave and never return. Everything we have done, Lord, has seemed to be in vain. Every time we need to get ahead, we're set back. We need blessings within, around, and throughout our lives. We need financial stability and to have the roads clear to good fortune. We've been waiting around so long for good luck. We need it now in Jesus' name. Amen. This is a lovely family. Their picture, they have a little baby. Pray very hard for this family to have their blocks removed. Prayer ID number 56716. My heart hurts so bad all the time, feeling like life is just going nowhere and I don't matter to the people I care about. Tired of being the scapegoat all the time. May you be healed. May you be healed and may you find a direction. Let's have a couple of more. Prayer ID number. Where's the number on this one? Oh, there it is. 56712. I ask for prayers for my family as their landlord just told my parents as of January 1st they aren't allowed to have their dogs in their rental after renting for more than 12 years. They did this just so they can rent the unit in the back and please the new tenants, since the new tenants don't like dogs, which is cruel to tell my family to give up their 5 rescue dogs. Shame on landlord. And my dad has Parkinson's. He needs the dogs. I pray I find a home for my parents with their 5 rescue dogs. Amen. Fuck that landlord. I don't use that word often, but to hell with him. Prayer ID number 56710. Please pray that my friend Chuck C. gets the job for which he is interviewing this week. This job is in his area of interest, pays well, and has benefits that would help him. He succeeds in this job with his knowledge, skills, and experience, and the work gets his life back on track after years of unemployment and underemployment. Amen. Oh, this is one we got to have. Prayer ID number 56709. May end dream of me and miss me tonight. Realize you love me deeply and want to be with me for always. Amen. Let's have a moment of prayer. May somebody pray very deeply for peace and success for all these people. And let's have a prayer for the world and all who need prayer and peace. Amen. 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 Thanks for everyone for coming and thanks for listening. I love you all. I mean that. I love you all. This is a wonderful thing we have going here. The Crystal Silence League is a wonderful thing. I get emails from people, and some of them we publish in our newsletter, and some of them people ask me not to publish them, and people say, you know, these prayers work, and we get people that post on the Crystal Silence League website. They come and say, you know, our prayers are answered. And not every prayer, you can't have what you want all the time. You know, God does answer every prayer, and sometimes that answer is no, and sometimes the answer is not now. And if every prayer was answered, nobody would ever die, would they? You know, everybody's mom and dad and grandma and great-grandpa and dog and cat would be walking the earth. And we live in a world where lots of things happen that we think of as bad, we think of as hard, and we think of as unfair and unjust. And this is the world. This is the world. And tonight we're going to deal with some of that and discuss it and what we can do about it, because when confronted with difficulty, our lives are going to be successful to the extent that we can deal with discomfort. I was talking to a friend of mine about that today. I said, you know, our success is proportional to the amount of discomfort we can tolerate. This friend of mine is the person who handles my wife and mine cell phone account, and I went in to trade my cell phone in because mine is not adequate, and he was multitasking like you wouldn't believe. He was handling stuff right and left, and I said, you know, you're a busy man today, and he said, I love being busy. I don't like not being busy. I said, me too. I said, the busier I am, the better, and I don't like not being busy. And I said, you know, I deal well with pressure. You know, I deal very well with pressure, and I rise to a challenge. And I said, you know, and I actually put it in words for the first time, I think. I said, you know, the degree of your success is directly proportional to the amount of discomfort you're willing, your tolerance for discomfort. The amount of success is proportional to your tolerance for discomfort. And I said, this is why most people never go very far. Most people like comfort. So they'll get a comfortable job that may not be happy, but it's comfortable, and it doesn't give them stress. Whenever you go out of your comfort zone, you're going into uncharted territory. And whenever you go into, like, you're self-employed, you know, I've been self-employed since the Clinton administration, I was going to say the first Clinton administration, the election had gone the other way, but since the Clinton administration, and I've been through 5 recessions, I guess. And, you know, people say, oh my God, you work for yourself. You know, isn't that insecure? No, it really isn't. Because I'm willing to undergo whatever it takes to succeed. And as long as it is within my ethical system, and my ethical system will not allow me to steal, you know, or be dishonest or lie to people. But within that, what I mean is that I'll do whatever it takes in terms of hard work. I'm not afraid of hard work and discomfort. I'm not afraid of sacrifice. I'm not afraid of doing without. And tolerance for discomfort. And this will measure your success in anything, not just work, but relationships and life. And if you want to see intolerance or discomfort, you look in traffic, and that guy who's yelling and honking his horn and flipping you off and calling you all kinds of sons of bitches has no tolerance for discomfort. He does not deal with frustration well. So what kind of success is he going to, as a measure of his life, what kind of success does he have in relationships or his job? If he can't deal with a challenge at work, how is he going to get a promotion? If he can't deal with a challenge in a relationship, how is he going to be successful in that relationship? This is the idea of conflict resolution, is he and his wife yell at each other until one of them gives in. And that's not conflict resolution. Now, for a lot of couples, it is. They yell at each other until one of them goes, okay, fine. That's not conflict resolution. Conflict resolution is when you compromise. And so that is one of our strategies. How do you compromise with a situation? So let's talk about one of the best survival instincts of stress, and that is, first of all, having a strategy when the world dumps on you. When the world dumps on you, when the world is dumping on you, if you know you have a strategy to deal with it, forewarned is forearmed. An ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. All these bromides, all these platitudes, they're true. If you know you have a strategy, it's going to help you a lot. What really stresses everybody is a feeling of hopelessness, being unarmed, being unprepared. So one of the things I do, my wife said it's kind of annoying sometimes, but I plan for every worst case scenario. And we were talking about that, and I told her that. And I was bringing some of them up because we're about to buy a new house, and we closed on it. We're going to move into it at the end of the month. And I came up with all these worst-case scenarios and was planning it. And I told her that that's what I do. And she goes, yeah, it's a little annoying sometimes. And I said, would you rather the opposite, that things blow up on her? She goes, oh, no, I'm not saying don't do it. but here's a five-point strategy that has developed over the years, and it turns out that when I've done research, a lot of people have come up with this, but it's worked for me. First, you got to identify the problem, and that's not as easy as it sounds. For instance, I talk to people. I work with my clients on this a lot. Identify the problem, and so what's the problem? Let's say, I have a problem spending too much money. Well, that's not really the problem, but it's a good start. That's the symptom. Why are you spending too much money? Well, I got an anger problem. Okay, well, that's a symptom. You put your finger in the vicinity. Why are you angry all the time? That's the beginning. Okay, you're angry a lot. Why are you angry? Well, people piss me off. People aren't pissing you off. You're rising to the bait. Why? And you have to really dig here. You have to really identify the problem. Now, if you're always yelling at your wife or your husband and they're yelling at you, if it's always happening at the same time, there are trigger points. Identify the trigger points. I mean, when you identify the problem, you really have to identify the problem. That is essential. If you don't have enough money at the end of the month, you say, well, I ran out of money. Why are your expenses outweighing your income? You have to identify it. When I say identify it, start with a general, I'm broke. I don't have any money. Do you have a job? Yeah. Why are your bills greater than your income? Identify it. You have to really identify it. This takes work. Now, once you identify the problem, what are the emotions that come up in these problems? And that's where you really have to do some soul searching. And the emotions are the nitty gritty, because if you're reacting emotionally, you're not reacting intelligently. If you say, well, I get angry, I get panicky, I get scared. This is a route to disaster. Identify the emotions. What are the emotional triggers? And sometimes the cart and the horse are hard to determine. The problem may be triggered by the emotions. The emotions may not be triggered by the problem. The problem might be the emotions. If you're spending a lot of money, that may be because of emotions. If you're impulse buying, if you're power shopping, that may be due to an emotional thing. You felt like you had no power. You had controlling parents or controlling spouse, or you grew up in poverty, and now this is a way you empower yourself or comfort yourself by buying things. Maybe you're like me and you have a collecting fetish. I collect things. I have to curb that. I like to buy old things because, an old book can tell you two different stories. There's a story in the book, but also the story about the book. If you're psychometric, you can hold that book, and the book will tell you its history, who owned it, what it's been through. You can get two stories or many stories from a book, not just the words from the book. An object, you can buy an old object and hold it in your hands, and the people who owned it. Things like this can be very habit-forming, and you have to curb it. If you have a choice between, okay, I can put money in my retirement account, or I can buy a whole bunch of tchotchkes. Okay. You have to identify the problem and what are the emotions surrounding it. This is another thing. Once you've done this, now, you have to go to the other side of that. You have to go into analytical thought. You have to analyze the situation. And, where's the conflict between the reality of your life and the way you're living it? Because if there's a problem, there's a conflict. So what's the reality between the way you're living your life and the conflict? And if it's you and another person, you're really going to have to be honest with yourself, and you cannot blame the other person. You can't say, well, my problem is that bitch I'm living with. The problem is that son of a bitch I'm living with. No, you can't do that. Because if that's the case, then you got to look back in your history and say, well, how many times have I been in this situation? And if this is like the second, third, fourth, fifth time you've done this, maybe the problem is you. And even if it is the other person, you are a contributor to the situation. You have to look at it honestly. That's why it's analytical at this point. Identify the emotions, get them out of the way, then go to the analytical phase. You know, if you say, well, you know, every time I talk to her, she gets defensive and communication breaks down. Well, why is that? This is when you analyze it. You have to be very analytical. And when emotions come up, put them back. You know, we've dealt with emotions. Emotions first, then analyze. Now, where's the conflict? And what I find when I'm doing this stuff, I write it all down. I write it down. Because if I don't write it down, then it all gets confused. And where's the conflict? Now I've got a lot of information. I've identified my problem. I know how I feel about the problem. I know what I think about the problem. Now it's time to contemplate. It's time to think about it. It's time to contemplate. And I'm going to tell you that this is where you start to find happiness and peace. Aristotle said contemplation is the highest form of happiness. That's where you're going to find your peace. You've got all this information now. So now you leave it alone. You just contemplate it. You don't do anything with it. You contemplate it. And this is meditation. This is contemplation. You have all this information now. You just sit. You sit with it. And this is hard because you want to control it. You don't control it. You contemplate it. And this is a critical phase. At this point, people want to try to change things. You contemplate it. You contemplate it. This is not the time. You're going to go into a point where you are going to work with it. But right now, you contemplate it. And I mean, you take as long as you need. And sometimes you might be in a critical situation, but you got to do this contemplating phase. It may take you an hour. It may take you a day. I've never had to spend more than a day on it. You contemplate it. And contemplation means that you sit with the information and you don't judge it. You don't try to do anything with it. You contemplate it. Contemplation is what you do when you stare at the clouds, when you look at the horizon, when you watch a sunset, when you're looking at a lake. Your mind goes into spin cycle. You know, the socks go round and round and round and round. You go in spin cycle and just let that information go there, because subconsciously there's all these little scholars and men and women and scientists and philosophers at work in there making all these connections. You contemplate, and finally you're going to try to make a compromise. After you've contemplated, you say, okay, now what do I do about this problem? And there may be a sleep. You might go to sleep. I'll sleep on it. And then maybe you need a fresh perspective. You say, okay, now how do we resolve this? And you're going to reach a balance or an equilibrium. There may not be a perfect solution to your problem, but you're going to reach a compromise. And if you go through this procedure, you'll find a compromise, and it may not be one that's palatable. It may not be a delicious compromise, but it's at least something. And you may have to give up something, but this is the point where you're not crushed by the problem. You will not be destroyed by the problem. You have made a deal with life. You've made a compromise with life. And if you learn to do this, you'll have a greater peace of mind. You'll have greater control over your life. And you will, over time, start to do this in a micromanagement way with the smaller things in your life that won't cascade into the bigger things. And this is a problem that occurs when people come to someone like me. They've waited until the problems have snowballed. It started as a little problem, and it snowballed into a boulder. And they call me and they go, oh, my God, Reverend John, oh, my God, look at this. And I say, you know, if you'd come to me 6 months ago, we could have dug you out of this. But, you know, what we're going to have to do now is stop the boulder in its tracks so it doesn't get any bigger, and then give you time to dig out of what you've done. But, you know, work any kind of magic to make all this go away. You know, sometimes people are going to go to jail. You know, so, well, you know, I can't keep you from going to jail, but we can stop, you know, from you, you know, getting in any deeper trouble. You know, you're going to court. I can't, you know, make the judge say, you know, hey, you stole money. You robbed a bank. You robbed a store. You know, the judge is not going to say, well, you know, you robbed a store. I'm going to let you go. But, you know, maybe we can stop you from getting any deeper trouble. So, you know, that's a problem. A lot of times when people come to someone like me, they've dug a ditch. It's pretty deep. If they'd come to me 6 months earlier, we say, you know, you didn't have to rob that store to get some money. Here's some stuff, other stuff you could have done, and go through this procedure. You know, they've acted in desperation. And that desperation is that feeling, that emotion that you don't want to act on. Fear, panic, anger, desperation. No, never make a decision based on that. And how many of you, your spiritual workers, have clients call you in panic and they're about to do something stupid? And you have to, no, calm down. And you have to talk them down. And then, or they've called you in a panic and they have done something stupid. And calm down. And, you know, we've all done it. You know, we've all done it. I've done it. When I was younger, I did something stupid out of panic. And then you look back and you say, man, I wish I'd been thinking, you know, this is how I know this stuff. You know, I learned it by trial and error. You know, I did stupid things. So what we find if we turn this around and we're helping somebody through it is that it's really just three steps. That we have a client who's miserable and out of control. And sometimes they're on the verge of about to kill themselves. They're harming themselves. Maybe they're using drugs and alcohol. They're self-destructive behaviors. And they say they're in a mental hell. You know, my life's hell. I don't know what I'm going to do. So when you hear that, helpless, I don't know what I'm going to do, you have to give them something to do. So they have this life of desperation. They have this feeling of desperation. And usually if you talk to them a little bit and get them to identify the problem, they begin to realize that their problem is not that desperate. So you have to give the client some control, give them something to do. And but they're still suffering, right? Because there's consequences to what they've done. They're in control. You can get someone, you can help somebody. And that's another thing. You have to learn to identify who you can help and who you can't, right? You got to identify if you're in this business, who can you help and who can you not? You got to have that category, because if you're trying to save somebody who's unsavable, you know, you're going to go out of control. You got to know who you can help and who you can't. And that comes, you know, that wisdom comes with practice, I think. So they're suffering because of these the karma or the consequences of the past actions. And there's trauma and invalidation. They don't trust their feelings. So they have this inhibited response to their life. And so this is where you have to help them engage their emotional response. That's when they have to examine their emotions and identify the emotions. That's very important, is that emotional engagement. So they go from that. The only thing they're feeling right now is panic and desperation, but you have to get them to move past that into experiencing what they're feeling right now. And now if you recognize that they're having post-traumatic stress disorder, that's time to hand them off to a professional. Most of the time they're not. They're just really scared and desperate, and you can get them to a state where they're calm. And then it's really necessary to define goals. This is part of the analytical part, to define the conflict and define a goal. Define the goal. You got to set goals, because your goals are going to help you with the compromise and getting the equilibrium and balance. I tell my clients, I'm going to give you some homework. Here's some homework for you. Get a pencil. Write this down. Or if they're here in my office, you know, I say, I'm going to give you some homework. Here's some things for you to do. Go home and do these, and then come back when these are done. And you set goals. So when they set goals, when you set goals and you achieve them, and sometimes these are just really simple, you know, get up and take a walk every day. And while you walk, figure out what you're going to do about, you know, you're going to tell your brother to go to the hell. You're going to tell, you know, your mom to quit calling you every day. You're going to go search for a job. You know, you're going to go, you know, get your hair done. You're going to, some of these are very simple. The idea is to build self-respect and set goals and find some kind of peace and happiness and routine. So what we do is try to get a person to the point where they're living a life of just ordinary happiness and unhappiness. You see, ordinary range of happiness and unhappiness, not misery and desperation. It's okay to have unhappiness, you see. We're not going to say, okay, your life's going to be blissful and trouble-free. What you want to do is get to the point where the tolerance for discomfort becomes manageable. And this is the problem with a lot of people, is that any kind of discomfort triggers panic. If something, any kind of discomfort, they go, oh my God, the world's... No, you got to get ordinary happiness and ordinary unhappiness. Get it within that range so that you can tolerate discomfort. Ordinary happiness and ordinary unhappiness. Get the tolerance for unhappiness and discomfort. Now, after a while, when people realize things are going to be okay, that, you know, if they get a little unhappy, you know, if their boyfriend yells at them, and the world, and it's not going to shatter them, you know, their self-esteem is strong enough to where, if the, you know, their girlfriend denies them sex, that it doesn't mean that she hates him, you know, this sort of thing, that just means, okay, I don't want to have sex tonight, you know, I'm in a bad mood, I don't want to have sex tonight. It doesn't mean I hate you. And you know, a lot of guys are like that. You know, oh my God, you don't want to have sex with me, you're breaking up with me, you got a boyfriend, you know, it triggers this kind of thing. You get them to that point, maybe they need more. Maybe they need a spiritual quest. They need spiritual enlightenment. They need, you know, they need some kind of, you know, they have that homelessness, that sense of homesickness for something bigger. You know, that's when you take them under your wing and start working for a spiritual fulfillment, you know, sense of connectedness. They've moved beyond just normal self-esteem. They want something bigger. And that's when you realize, as a spiritual worker, that you've really accomplished something with this person. You've taken them beyond normal, just the normal rut of their daily life. And, you know, you can move them into something great. And that's when you start saying, you know, some of the biggest changes in your life can be accomplished by reading spiritual books and listening to spiritual teachers. And, I mean, how many people have had their life changed by reading a single book? I mean, truly, some of the biggest moments I ever had as a kid was riding the bus downtown, going to the library and finding a book and going, oh my God, a book, you know, this one book, you know, just a single book. I can name it. I can name them. I don't want to give you my personal list, but I can tell you that there are certain books that just, my life pivoted with these books. And certain authors, you know, their voice, this, you know, they pivoted my life. And everybody's got this kind of list. You know, anybody who's a reader can name certain books and their life pivoted. And, you know, just certain books, certain authors, philosophers, writers, you know, if you get to work with somebody, you can say, I have something for you. And you can give them a book and say, I want you to read this book and I want you to contemplate what's in it. And that can set them on another path. When you get someone to that phase, you know, that, you know, beyond just, you know, is my boyfriend or my girlfriend going to call me? And you really accomplished something. You really have. But in a nutshell, identify the problem, bring out the emotions, identify the emotions, analyze the identify and analyze the conflict, contemplate what you've learned, and reach a compromise between the way things are and where you want to take them. Set goals, you know, do homework and set goals, and, you know, find a way to live with what you got, and then set goals to where you want to make them. You have a strategy in place, then you can deal with anything life will hit at you. You know, short of a boulder dropping on your head and killing you, you know, or an atomic bomb landing in your backyard, and then you don't have to worry about nothing. So, pardon me, I have a head cold. You see, life has dumped on me, you know, with this head cold, but I still do my show to bring you the Crystal Silence League Hour. We're going to end with our, we don't even have time to do our genie announcement, but I cut it too short. Oh, well, we'll do our station identification next time. Thanks, everyone, for showing up. My love to you all. I hope you have a wonderful time. We have a Beverly Smith in the Streets coming up next. We do have an End of the Streets for you to listen to. Please stay tuned to Beverly Smith in the Streets, and we'll see you next week. Night-night.